And a privilege, as David has shared, and an honor it is to really to hear the Lord and to really share what He has for us as a church. I don't take it lightly. In fact, you know, last week's word was for me. the Jonah story. Yes, it was for me. For many years, I ran away from the Lord and what the Lord had called me for. Many times I ran away, and in many seasons I'll share in the word today, because I believe it really ties into what was shared last week from Dave, you know. I don't know about you, but for me it was really a word around disobedience. And I know many of us also had different things, depending on our journeys with the Lord, amen. But really for me, it was really about disobedience, and it was also about pride. You know, pride is such a huge factor. You know, the Lord says He hates it. It's one of the things that He hates the most. And that's because pride places itself above God. Pride says, I am the Word, and I decide. I brought myself here. I decide how my journey looks like. I have it all figured out. It's me, me, me. And everybody else just keeps quiet because I know what I'm doing. And I felt like this word was so linking to what God was wanting to share with us today. And I will lead us and just to hear what God wants to say. So before I start, I'd like us to just take your right hand and just place it at your heart, by your heart, you know, and just ask God that, God, open my heart up. Lord, open my heart up that I may hear you today, that this word be a word that is of my season and be a word that will change and transform me. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 So today's message is really about how do we get to experience the kingdom of God. How do we get to experience the kingdom of God? I know many sermons are out there that really share about the kingdom of God. But what is the Lord saying to us today about His kingdom? A different aspect of it. Where do we actually get to experience the kingdom of God today? Have you asked yourself that question? Where do I get to experience the word of God today? Is it in this world? Do I get to experience the kingdom of God out there? Do I get to experience the kingdom of God in my family? Do I get to experience the kingdom of God in my community? Where do I actually get to experience this kingdom? Because many of times I say, I don't see this kingdom, Father. I don't know about you. I really don't want to be spiritual today. That, Father, I see your kingdom. And, Father, I'm experiencing your kingdom. But these are really key questions that we need to ask ourselves, family. Where do we get to experience the kingdom of God? And is the kingdom of God out there? Today's message is really also about trust, trusting and relying in the word of God for us to get to experience this kingdom. Just like Jonah, as I shared earlier on, where was his experience of the kingdom of God? Because he felt like the kingdom of God was out there, where the Lord had called him to go to. But the kingdom of God was a different aspect, and this was the journey of Jonah. So today's title is How to Experience the Kingdom of God. How to experience the kingdom of God. When we look at the biblical texts, scriptural texts, when we go to the word of God, we see how a lot of men and women of the Lord were so amazed at how God moved through Jesus Christ. They were so amazed. You would have thought because they were scholars of the word of God, you would have thought that because they were in the Word of God, that when they saw Jesus Christ, it wouldn't be an all, right? It would have been business as usual. When Jesus healed people, when Jesus touched people, when people were changed and transformed, it should have been business as usual, right? It should have been business as usual, but it wasn't for a lot of the guys in the Word of God. They were just so amazed. Remember, they were scholars. They were seducers. They were the Pharisees, right? They were the scribes. And these guys who were constantly in the Word of God. But when they saw this move of Christ, they were surprised. It wasn't business as usual at all. What they saw in Jesus was the fullness of the kingdom of God. They saw Scripture come alive. They saw the fullness of God spiritually in Jesus Christ. They saw the spiritual side of Him. They saw the physical well-being of Christ. I mean, He was shining, He was beaming, He was bright, right? Some of them could not even look at Him the way He was so bright. They saw Him financially well. I mean, we know that Jesus Christ didn't have a home. He didn't have a house. But He was wealthy. He was wealthy. They saw the goodness of God of emotional well-being. They saw the goodness of God relationally. This is the kingdom of God that they saw in Christ. People were in awe. People were in awe. This is the Christ that we want to see today. I don't know about you. This is the church that we want to see today. I don't know about you. I think we are tired of being like Pharisees. I'm not saying you are Pharisees and I am. But I think we read the word. We study the text. But are we actually experiencing the fullness of the kingdom of God? Are we seeing Him emotionally? Are we seeing Him physically in our health? Are we seeing Him financially? Are we? I think it's a question that we need to ask ourselves. It's not usual today. It's not usual today when we see responsibilities in our lives taken care of. On the 11th hour, something happens. You have responsibilities. It might be rent. It might be paying your house. It might be paying tuition, whatever it may be. And then on the 11th hour, something happens and we say, whoa, this is a miracle. I mean, oh, what happened? But isn't it what was written in the scripture? That it's business as usual? That health is business as usual? That the Lord taking care of all our needs is business as usual? Amen. Family, when your impossible situation turns and becomes a possible, it's business as usual in the kingdom of God. Let's not be in awe. Let's not be in wonder and wondering what happened. As if we don't believe in this Christ that we're reading about and that we are following. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Isn't it the very same Jesus Christ that we follow who says this? I love this. He says, follow me. Follow me. And then in the end it says, I will make you fishers of men. But before that, follow me. Follow me as my disciples. Follow me as my scholars. Follow me as my learners. Follow me as my children. Accept me. Receive me as your master. Receive me as your king, that you may receive and understand the kingdom of God. When we're in the kingdom of God, we have to understand a kingdom has a king. The kingdom has a king. And the king in this kingdom is Jesus Christ. And so when we're in this kingdom of God, the Lord says, In it I will make you fishers of men. The Lord says that when you come to Him, when you follow Him, you take on His complete nature. This nature is the kingdom of God, family. When you make Jesus Christ your master, when you make Jesus Christ your king, you get to experience and partake into His kingdom. When you partake and experience His kingdom, there's a couple of things that are expected to follow. One is the character of God. You move in His character. It's expected. Because you're following Christ. You're following His pattern. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And we saw that it is this very same Paul who moved in serious dimensions. Because he followed the Christ. And so here the Lord is inviting us and saying, if you follow me, if you come and you follow me, you partake in this kingdom. Because I am a king in this kingdom. A king takes care of his kingdom. A king plugs out what is not good in his kingdom. Our king is a king of love and he wants to see love. Amen. When you partake in him and you follow him, you also partake in his wisdom. You partake in his wisdom. Have you seen? It's so frustrating. I can just imagine how the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes were so frustrated when they saw Jesus. Because they moved in wisdom. But they didn't move in power. Imagine you have all the wisdom in the world, but there's nothing to show from this wisdom. You have all the text, you know all the answers, but when we look at you, there's no power moving. When we look at you, there's no character of Christ in you, the character of God in you. And the Lord says, when you follow me, what you receive when you follow me is the character of God. So you God is within you. When you follow me, what you receive is wisdom. That's knowledge. That's understanding. That's interpretation of the word. That's revelation of God. When you follow me too, then you also have power. I don't know about you, family, but I want to see power. I don't just want to see the word of God and just read the word of God and say, Father, I'm living in the law, because law is exactly that. It's saying I'm doing everything right today because I have an end in mind, and that end is heaven. But the Lord says that we can experience heaven here on earth. We can experience the kingdom of God here on earth when we don't live in law, but we surrender ourselves to the kingdom of God and who He is. Family, church, the kingdom of God, I'm sorry to say this to us, but the kingdom of God is not out there. You won't find it in your accolades. You won't find it in your achievements. You won't find it in your wife, your husband, that, oh, Father, you've blessed me with a husband. I'm experiencing the kingdom of God. No. You won't find it in your parents, in your sisters. You won't find it in your bank account. A lot of people have money in their bank account, but they're still not experiencing the kingdom of God. You can't find it there. You won't find this kingdom in this dying world, family. Not also in the self-help books that we read. Self-help books are good for now. And tomorrow the problems start again. They are good for now. You feel good now. But tomorrow, man, this is not the truth. It is deception. You won't find it there. The kingdom of God is with God. The kingdom of God is in His word. When we eat, when we recite the word of God, it has the power to transform us It has the power to change us. We might not experience the kingdom of God out there, but we start experiencing the kingdom of God inside of us. Amen. I remember there was an experience done by scientists, and what these scientists were trying to understand is the presence of God. And what they did is they took two homes, the one home that fellowships with the Lord and the one home that doesn't fellowship with the Lord. Now, the home that doesn't fellowship with the Lord does not mean that that home is not a good home. They're not good people. No, not that kind of stuff, you know. They were good people. It's just that they don't fellowship with the Lord. And the one house is a house where they fellowship with the Lord, right? And what they did is they took a tray, cubicle trays, you know, the ice trays, and they poured water, same water, in the one tray, same water in the next tray. And they placed them in these two different homes in their fridges, in their deep freezers, right? After some time, they pulled out, after a week or so, they pulled out these trays and pulled out the cubes, the ice cubes. And they had a look at these two ice cubes. The one family where they were fellowshipping with the Lord, the ice cube was crystal. It was so crystal, it looked so beautiful. And in the other house, the ice cube was murky. They're both ice cubes. One had the presence. One had the kingdom. It was experiencing the kingdom of God because it was in the home. And the other was murky. They were good people. But the kingdom of God was not in that house. Amen. Matthew 4:19 also says that when we follow Christ as our model of life, we experience this incredible grace of business as usual. When we follow Him, when we live and experience Him, our souls get restored, family. Breakthroughs happen. This is part of you being in the kingdom of God. We can't believe this lie that when we're in the kingdom of God, these things don't happen. They do happen. We have to believe and trust that in the kingdom of God, we get restored. In the kingdom of God, we have breakthroughs. In the kingdom of God, every promise that He has spoken, we have to receive it. It's a must. It's a must. Why? Because it's written, family. It's the truth that is written. It's the very same truth that has said that let there be light, and today we still see this light. We have no control over it, but it's still there. Because it is written and it was said. Amen. Family, to experience the kingdom of God is an inside job. I want to say this again. To experience the kingdom of God is an inside job. How do we know this, you may ask? Well, let's look at Mark 4, verse 26 to 32. This is a beautiful text. People come to Jesus Christ and they ask Christ questions, the questions that I asked us earlier about how do we get to actually experience the kingdom of God. So this tells us that people in the old days, we're also asking the very same Christ that we are following today, asking Him about this kingdom. They wanted to experience it because when they saw Christ, they saw the kingdom of the Lord. It was no longer just only with the text, but it was alive. It was breathing. Amen. So let's read it. It reads as follows. So Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer. The kingdom of God is like a farmer. And who's the farmer? You and I. This is what the Lord is saying to us. Who scatters seed on the ground. So the farmer needs to what? To scatter seed on the way, on the ground. Family, when we look at the word ground in the Word of God, we must always look at it in another aspect where we have to look at ground as our hearts. Ground is our hearts. The Lord spoke about many seeds that were sprinkled and some fell on stony ground and they could not be planted. So the Lord here is talking about our hearts. I continue. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how. Wow. When we speak the word of God, when we plant the word of God, we don't know how this kingdom comes about. This is what was happening to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The word was there, but they didn't know why. But why is this Jesus moving in this kind of dimension? Hallelujah. I continue. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the head of the wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it. As soon as the grain is ready. As soon as the word of God is planted, we walk away. We trust the process. We leave it to him. He will prepare his kingdom for us. When? In the right season. But at times we cry, family. We're like, when is the seed coming to pass? It is so tough. Oh, Father, I'm letting go. No, I'm doing this by myself. No, let me get back to control. Let me get back to my driver's seat. And let me drive this car. But the Lord says, when the season is right, then we receive our harvest. Amen. Again, family, we see it for ourselves in this parable. Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is his word. We can't produce it. We can't make it. It is just his word. Simple as that. We plant his word. His word is like a bag full of seeds. This is what he's saying. And these seeds are full of life. They are living text. When you read the word of God, each verse is alive. It's a living text. It's like a seed. You pull it out and you keep planting it. You keep planting it in your heart. And you wait for the right season for it to come to pass. Amen. These seeds are living, family. These seeds are living. The Lord says, you and I are the farmers. So we need to farm. We need to be farmers. And at times it's tough to be a farmer. It's tough to wake up in the morning. You know, farmers wake up very early in the morning. And they plant. It's very tough to kick the blankets at 3 o'clock in the morning and start reading the text and praying. It's not easy. It's not an easy task. But as soon as we are not able to do that, we must know that the enemy is on us. Because the enemy does not want us to plant the seed. The enemy is throttling us and making sure that you don't get up, making sure you don't read the word, making sure that you don't plant the word and pray it through, making sure that you don't spend time in worship and your house being a house of praise. I know at times it's tough to read the word, you know. There's different seasons in life. But have a system in place. Have a radio where even if it's playing worship, you know that the word is going into your soul. Might have not been reading the word, but it's going to your soul. Make sure that you're playing sermons. Because as they are speaking, the word is going into your heart. The word is going into your heart. Amen. I don't know about you. I remember I've had tough times and seasons in my life. You know, and all of a sudden I hear myself just singing. And when I actually listen to what I'm saying, I'm like, yo, it's tough. But thank God, because my spirit is singing. I wouldn't have learned, where would I have found a song for that season? My spirit is singing. When I'm asleep, my spirit is already praying. My wife would say, I'm hearing you talk stuff. I don't know what you're saying. I'm like, I don't know too. My spirit is praying. You know? So this is the kingdom of God, family. These texts are excellent and fruitful. Every scripture holds the fullness of God. We have to trust in His word. We have to speak it and plant it and leave it and trust that the Lord will do it in the right season. Amen. In John 21:6, Jesus says to Simon, Simon, cast this net on the right side of the boat and you will find, hallelujah, you will find, it's not maybe, you will find some fish. So they cast, and then they were able to haul it in because it was of great fish. Amen. It was of great fish. This issue of disobedience, family, is a serious one. I've seen it in my life. I've seen the great speed of God in my life because of obedience. And I've seen tough times in my life for years. At least my parents are here, they'll tell you my story. For years, I was a mess. But when I became obedient, God turned my mess into a message. And it's so interesting that when you are in obedience, maybe let's start here. When you are in disobedience, everything, it's not only about you. Everything around you is affected by your disobedience. Every area in your life. My wife was affected by my disobedience. My parents were affected by my disobedience. Everybody at work, everybody was affected by my disobedience. And I remember the day when I said, Father, this is a very tough journey for me to accept because of the call of souls. I said, God, this is a tough call, but I will do it day by day. It's not an acceptance of today where you say, Father, I'm in obedience, and forever and ever you are in obedience. It's today, tomorrow is a different story. And the following day, a different story. But the day I said, Father, I'll be in obedience, every day was a tough day. But it was so funny. So what's so interesting is that everything that belonged to me came back to me. With great speed, just like when Jesus says to Simon, cast, and you follow that obedient with great speed. Have you ever seen speed that you also get scared about the speed? Like this, there's so much speed, you're trying to say, Father, I don't understand so much speed. It's so scary sometimes because we are humans. Sometimes you get scared that you might lose this, you might lose that. But God says, but it's business as usual. In my kingdom, it's business as usual. When you are in obedience, it's business as usual. Everything will flow. And don't be afraid because I've called you to live a life of abundance. I've called you to live a life of what the texts are actually saying. Amen. Oh, bless the Lord. And so I leave us with this, family. I'd like us to look into our lives. Where in our lives, where in your life, are you not experiencing the kingdom of God? Which part of you in your life is not experiencing the kingdom of God? It may be your health, it may be finances. You know, it might be a relationship, a family relationship. It might be regret. It might be disappointment. Which area in your life are you not experiencing what the Word says you should experience? The Lord says, bring it to me. Bring it to me. Bring it to me, not complete. Bring it to me, not figured out. But bring it to me. Place it at my altar and see that I will not change the situation. When I was in disobedience, family, and I gave God what He wanted back, every day was a challenge. Because the enemy is angry. But the Lord says, bring it to me and I'll make that burden, that yoke light. And every day, I will hold your hand, and day by day, we'll get closer to the light. If it's you today where you are saying, Father, I'm not experiencing this area of your goodness, this area of your kingdom. I'm in your kingdom, Father, but I'm not experiencing the fullness of your kingdom. I'd like you to take your hand again and lay it in your heart. And I'd like you to pray. Speak the word of the Lord to your heart and say, Father, I may not have the fancy words. I may not have the right scripture. I may not have the know-how. But God, I want to experience this kingdom. I want to experience this fullness of who you are. I don't want to be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes who read your word but there is no power. Who read your word but there's no transformation. Who read your word but they don't experience who Christ is. I am asking you, Father, to come. And I'm asking you, Lord Father, to show me these areas in my life. Maybe, perhaps I am disobedient in some area. I don't have the strength, Father, to let go of this. But I ask you today. I ask you today to help me. Help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Good. Thank you.